amazing dancer, super, like, even like hip hop, like different styles. So if you haven't seen Oogie dance, you're missing out. What's your favorite song to dance to?
It's Ozo Motley, Can't Stop. I actually saw them live at the Dakota, and I got a VIP ticket, and I was there for soundcheck, and they went through some songs, and then they're like, any requests? And I was like, Can't Stop, and they...
You are listening to Fresh Air Community Radio, KFAI, 90.3 FM in Minneapolis and around the world at kfai.org, the community's true voice.
The viewpoints expressed in this program are the opinions of the people expressing them and are not necessarily those of Fresh Air Incorporated, its staff, or its board of directors.
What's up? This is Toolman.
And this is Bear Witness.
And we are the Hallucination.
And you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, Best Of.
The Hallucination.
It's a good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, he need cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kadagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local, national, Native news and events. And as you know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues. Hey, I just wanted to bring up to just a shout out to all the people out there that were observing Orange Shirt Day. Every Child Matters yesterday on September 30th, and to remind everyone, too, it began in Canada in 2013 as a grassroots movement to honor Indigenous children who were taken from their families and forced into residential schools. The orange shirt represents the story of Phyllis Webstad and who had her new orange shirt taken away on her first day at the residential school when she was 6 years old. And it's amazing. It's been going on for a while. And I seem to have seen a lot more observing of this across Indian country. And just a big shout out to everybody that wearing orange. And earlier today, I was talking to State Senator Mary Kunish, and we were talking about maybe we should have a month on wearing orange shirts and talk about it, because I'm kind of surprised, too, that a lot of people and our allies don't know about this. And so it's very important, I believe, to bring it up here on Native Roots Radio and all across Turtle Island. Really kind of a sad day today. I'm going to have Wendy come on later in the show and talk about Jane Goodall, and she'll talk about how we were able to see her in New York speak 2 years ago, and she passed away at 91 years old. And so it's just a sad day here at the Pilot Residency. And today's guest is going to be Arvina Martin, Executive Director of Emerge Wisconsin, and we're always excited to talk about what's going on nationally and locally and what's happening in Wisconsin, because we have a big following in Wisconsin. I want to give a shout out too to all the people that come up to me and say, it's funny, I got a message back from somebody that I know that works with the Ho-Chunk Nation, and he said, I forgot to tell you, My mom really loves your show. And I'm just going, oh, we got the grandmas and the moms. So we're excited about that. And again, it really means a lot to me when you do come up and talk to us and say that we listen to your show and we appreciate you. That means the world to us. And I know Wendy and I have run into that a lot lately, just being out and about. And so that's been really, really fun. And again, a big thank you to everybody that does come up and say hi to us. It makes a big difference. Also, too, I never really talk about this, but we have a Patreon, and please feel free if you want to buy us a cup of coffee every month. That'd be awesome. And supporting us in any way you can, we really appreciate that. And I want to give a shout out to all the people that are supporting us on Patreon, and that's Patreon, Native Roots Radio Media and Patreon. So if you feel like supporting us in that way, and always support our sponsors and people that support Native Roots Radio. Just a second here. Are you gone? I just lost Arvina. She was on, and I don't see her on now. We have a lot to talk about. A lot going on, how the government shutdowns affecting us in Indian country and things like that. So as soon as she gets back on, we're gonna add her on and talk to her. Hey, there's our friend Arvina Martin, Executive Director of Merge Wisconsin. How are you doing today? Great to see you as always. And thank you so much. I want to say this publicly. Thank you so much for being so flexible about being on the show. It means a lot to me. You know, we had a special Minneapolis mayor show yesterday, and we had to there was a lot of candidates running for mayor in Minneapolis, and it was pretty interesting and exciting. And thank you again for being so flexible, and thank you for being on Native Roots Radio as always.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's a good time for me. I, you know, don't have a lot going on around 5 o'clock. So, it helps that my availability is pretty open at that time, but I'm always happy to come and talk about, you know, what's happening or what's, you know, nationwide in Wisconsin or, you know, politically. I'm happy to be here. And, you know, I'm always okay with being bumped for a political forum or candidates trying to reach their voters.
Yeah.
I totally understand that.
That's your jam, by the way, and I appreciate that. I want to talk about a couple things real quick. And Wounded Knee Medals decision, you know, Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth has affirmed that the U.S. soldiers who received the Medal of Honor in the massacre of the 1890 Wounded Knee Massacre are going to get to keep their medals now. And so I know a few years ago, I think that under the Biden administration, that was reneged because it was a massacre. It was no battle. And now we see how things are nationally here. And it's kind of frightening for me to see that they're taking aim at this right now.
I mean, it's first of all, I don't know that people are talking about the whole issue, right, you know, at the moment. So, like, I don't know that it's a super, I mean, it's not in the news at the moment, other than this action. I don't know who is clamoring for this action besides Pete Hegseth and Donald Trump, maybe J.D. Vance as well. I don't know. You know, the line in the sand or the hill that he's going to die on, one of the many hills he's going to die on is protecting medals from soldiers that shot unarmed women and children who are clearly trying to flee. That's the kind of military he apparently wants to build. I think we saw a bit of that as well yesterday with his speech to all of the generals and admirals and leaders of the military that he called. We got a pretty gross version of what his vision and Trump's vision of the military is. And, you know, it's in some ways quite different from what we are used to, but in other ways, very much the same, unfortunately.
Wow. Yeah, really good point. And I don't know how the military is going to react. I read some places where they're rolling their eyes at this person that had dodged the draft, that talked about people that were prisoner of wars as goofballs and all these things that yes, thank you. And just the way he talked trash about the service people. And I don't know how, you know, and the other part, too, is this an attack? Is this going to be an attack on civilians? You know, and that's what he was calling for.
Yeah, I mean, there is a whole lot to be worried about. You know, the fact that they are sending, you know, I believe National Guard troops to both Portland and Memphis. You know, according to Trump, Portland is a war zone. You know, my friends in Portland have no idea where that war zone is supposed to be. You know, so he's already sending military to U.S. cities and. Yeah, it's just not good.
Hey, we're here with Arvina Martin, Executive Director of Merge Wisconsin. We'll be right back. This is Native Roots Radio.
To our elders who teach us of our creation and our past, so we may preserve Mother Earth for ancestors yet to come, we are the land.
This is dedicated to our relatives before us, thousands of years ago, and to the 150 million who were exterminated across.
I'm Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and I want to be your next United States Senator, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, welcome back, everyone. We are with our friend, Ho-Chunk, Arvina Martin of the Executive Director of Merge Wisconsin, and we're just talking over things that are happening locally and nationally, and just to finish our thought about the invasion of Memphis, you know, Memphis out of Tennessee, I have family in Tennessee, and let me tell you, Memphis is pretty liberal, and they even have vegan restaurants, so maybe that's why they're attacking them.
And we have an Emerge Tennessee as well. They do great work down there. So shout out to Frida Player, the executive director down there, also a school board member.
Well, and with what's happening nationally, it's just more important now than ever to talk about what Emerge does. But I want to finish first off with some of the headlines, and I really want to talk about Emerge and the great work that you do, but also it's national, and it's also how it really here in Wisconsin, I should say they are in Wisconsin, sorry, really affect our Native communities and our Ho-Chunk communities in a good way. And I really want to dig deep into that the next segment. But I still have a few things. We have a shutdown going on now, and I don't know, am I kind of I don't know, unpositive person when I say I'm glad the Democrats are doing something?
I mean, again, what they're asking for is not even anything crazy. It's asking for extending, paying for affordable health care. You know, it's not new money. It's just extending what has already been like allocated and used. So it's not like they're charting new ground here or anything. And it's, you know, I'm glad that there are a lot of positions in that part of that legislation that just protect people that need the, you know, access to healthcare. And losing that access is, I mean, absolutely life-changing for so many people, and so many people lose their lives, you know, trying to get treatment that maybe they can't afford, and we just, that doesn't need to happen in this country.
Yeah, and we are still in a shutdown, so I'm glad there. I don't know. I was on Associated Press website, and there's a live camera in the government part, and there's nobody in there. And I know the Republicans didn't show up to vote, and so it's concerning. I think there's going to be pushback, and you know, it's affecting everything. And one of the things too, I'm going to be heading out to New York, and you know, it's going to affect air traffic controllers. It's going to affect you know, how it shut the key tribal support agencies like the Bureau of Indian Affairs and Indian Health Services is expected to continue operations, but it's still going to affect them if you're not getting paid. You know, for goodness sakes.
Absolutely. I mean, what do you do if you are expected to continue to work and, you know, are not going to get the compensation that you need in order to continue to exist in your life, you know? And the folks in Congress still get paid, you know? I'm sure Pete Hegseth is still going to get paid. It boggles the mind.
Yeah, it really, really does. And how is history going to be written here, you know, in these past 10 years? And, you know, I believe, you know, there's people that, you know, have read the book People's History of the United States that really know what the true history is. But it really seems to me that the history is going to the victors right now, and really changing a lot of narratives that, you know, even our allies that listen to the show don't know a lot of things. And we talked about the Orange Shirt Day yesterday and today. I have friends that are allies that don't know what that is.
I mean, yeah, I same here on Orange Shirt Day. You know, I will say that it's a newer holiday here in the United States. I do believe that they've celebrated it longer in Canada. Yeah. But yeah, same. A lot of people have never heard of it. And you know, you see the Trump administration trying to rewrite history in this very moment, in that mm-hmm. they will not talk about things like slavery. They're trying to take all references to slavery out of the you know, American History Museum and the African American History Museum, and out of national parks. You know, they've got like a narc line set up. So if you see a sign in a national park that says something, quote, you know, mean to America, unquote, or end quote, rather, that you should call this narc line and tell them, so that, and they'll change it. You know, that's what this administration, when they're paying people, that's what they spend their money on, you know?
Well, speaking of that too, I just want to say this, and I'm sure our listeners know, and is that people in ICE are still getting paid with this shutdown. There's a special way that they're being paid. And so there you have it again. People in ICE are getting their college loan forgiven. And, you know, there's all these things that really are twisting people's minds.
I mean, we are at the part where people are saying the quiet things out loud and right. are, you know, acting on things and not even pretending anymore to be fair or nonpartisan in your role as a, you know, as an elected official, you know, and it's just, it's crazy to me. You know, Trump today told Microsoft that they should fire somebody because she used to work for the, you know, Obama and Biden administrations. I mean, talking to a private company saying she's terrible, you should fire her.
Well, the Supreme Court finally did something, or they at least put it on hold when he was trying to fire the person from the Fed, you know, and they said they didn't have to. So that was interesting, but it's still pending. It still could switch around, but him firing somebody that really, you know, has nothing to do with government, the people saying that he can't do that, he did it anyways, and they and the people bowed out to him and did fire her. So
yeah. And we just I'm trying to look at what the actual title of these folks that he fired today was, but I believe it was people that serve on the board of the National Humanities. I don't know if it's association or organization. I apologize for not having this on hand already. But he just fired all of the appointees that were appointed by Democrats. You know, and so now the only remaining board members or appointees are ones that he has personally picked. So, and the, this organization is one that doles out grant money, you know, all over the place. So it has very real implications to, you know, just our economy, as well as the livelihoods of a lot of Americans. And, you know, it's, now it's going to go, it's probably going to go to questionable folks.
Yeah, which is ICE. And one of the things, too, that just popped up here, too, is Trump's administration puts hold on $18 billion funding for New York City infrastructure projects because he's a big baby and he doesn't like New York, you know, and New York doesn't like them because they've been on to him way before he ran for president when he was not paying bills and all these things.
Absolutely. Yeah. New Yorkers know and have known and have been knowing all about Donald Trump. And so because he can't fool them, they didn't vote for him, he's not going to give them any money. And, you know, it contradicts in the most predictable way about, you know, him not being serious about the things that he says he's serious on, like crime or things like that. You know, you can't just let crime happen somewhere, you know, and when there are things that you can offer and have offered to help mitigate and help prevent situations that are dangerous, and just, you know, take them away because they didn't vote for him. Again, like, this is just all insanity, you know, it's, but again, absolutely predictable. Like, we knew this was going to happen. New Yorkers knew it was going to happen.
Oh, yeah. Well, and again, I fumbled through this. It's Supreme Court lets Lisa Cook remain as a Federal Reserve governor for now. And so I misspoke there in the beginning, and you know, we don't have any governors. We don't have people working in his administration that will stop this insanity. He's got all these boys that are listening to him. But, hey, Arvina, can you hold on another segment? I'd really love to talk about Emerge's work here and swing to the positive because of the great organization that you helped lead.
Absolutely.
Let's do it. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio, and we'll be right back after the short break. Please stay with us. We're with Arvina Martin, Emerge Wisconsin Executive Director.
Tune in to hear Minnesota's newest statewide newscast, North Star Stories, Voices from Where We Live.
Each week, we bring you stories and perspectives from across the state's diverse communities.
North Star Stories amplifies voices too often missing from our state's news.
Black, Indigenous, and communities of color,
people living with disabilities, elders,
LGBTQIA Two-Spirit residents, and those in greater Minnesota.
Find North Star Stories, Voices from Where We Live in your station schedule and wherever you get your podcasts.
Produced by Ampers, Diverse Radio for Minnesota's communities.
Every Friday at 1 p.m. right here on 90.3 FM KFAI.
This is Dallas Goldtooth, and you're listening to the Native Roots Radio. Hoka, hecha, wecha.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. I am here with superstar Arvina Martin,
Executive Director of Emerge Wisconsin, and I always enjoy our conversations. And I want to just switch gears here a little bit and really talk about your work. And I've been really blessed and lucky to know you for a few years and watch what's going on and how important your work is, and really how important it is not only to the women of Wisconsin, but also how it really affects our Native Americans, too, here in Wisconsin.
Yeah, you know, I am the first executive director for any Emerge affiliate that is Native. And so I, you know, I come from a different skill set than a lot of folks that have the same job that I have. So I like to make sure that I am leading and working with that hat on, that Native organizing hat that I have worn for so long. And, you know, really want to be able to, you know, we talk a lot in Emerge about the concept of lift while you climb. So, you know, you're trying to get somewhere, you're trying to break those glass ceilings, but you're not only are you climbing, but you're bringing people with you. And I think that is one of the most important things that I can do is bring my community with me, whether that is helping Native folks get access to political systems or elected officials, whether that is making sure that all of the folks that graduate from Emerge Wisconsin have been introduced to the concept of tribal sovereignty and what is federal Indian law, and, you know, how is the, you know, what are good ways to engage in Indian country that are, you know, meeting folks where they are and really coming to look at situations and problems from a, you know, a different point of view. And unfortunately, Native perspectives are not heard too frequently in governmental spaces, you know, any department. So, you know, helping folks with the knowledge, you know, be able to come and be able to speak to folks about, you know, the things that they know and they are experts at, you know, is a really great thing. You know, I feel good doing it, you know, helping both sides gain access to folks that they didn't previously have access to. And that's probably one of the most important things about doing this work, you know, personally for me.
Right. And we talked earlier in the show about how even our allies and people that really want to respect Natives and Natives' ways don't know everything about what's happened to us and what, you know, because history is so, I mean, I grew up with John Wayne, you know, I mean, that's the history that was perpetrated for our young people that maybe didn't read a book or two.
yeah, absolutely. You know, and I certainly don't know everything either. You know, like people may come to me for their questions on, you know, all things related to Native people, but there's nobody knows all of this stuff. And I grew up here in Madison and Dejope, but, you know, so I didn't grow up in Black River, or, you know, my mom lived on the mission growing up. My dad grew up on the Stockbridge Reservation, and I grew up in Madison, so that's away from those communities. There's a lot of things that I don't know, but I, you know, really think it's important to make sure I know people that have that kind of knowledge that I don't have, you know, especially in fields that I'm less familiar with or completely unfamiliar with. But, you know, even knowing people who know people, I think is really important.
Well, I know
answers.
Sorry, Irvina. I know too, that one of the things that we like to talk about too, is especially as a Ho-Chunk or whatever tribe you're from, is that there's no pan explanation either. We're separate. We're very similar in a lot of our ways, but very separate too in a lot of our ways.
Yeah, absolutely. And to, you know, reduce all of Native America to, you know, North America, South America, or both to, you know, a single thing is absolutely wild, because we don't do, I'm going to check myself right there. We absolutely do that to folks from other continents as well. I was just thinking, we don't do that to Europeans, but of course we don't, but we sure do that to Africans, you yes. know, reduce hundreds and thousands of amazing cultures and languages and life ways to one stereotype is, I mean, it's dumb, because you're missing out on so much richness of experiences and stories and ways to look at things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. I agree 100% on that. It's just amazing. And it's good to talk about this, because, you know, it all size doesn't fit one. And there was a great documentary that came out, I don't know, 10, 15 years ago called, what was it called? It was about the history of movies and Native Americans. And
Real Engine?
Reels, engines, yeah, right. And it really talked about, you know, why are these natives wearing headbands in Arizona? And it's like, well, it's to keep the white man's wig on.
I mean, that sure sounds like the right answer to me.
Yeah, and geez, you know, and then hearing things from John Wayne, who you know, said things like, well, we stole the land. They didn't, the Indians didn't deserve it, you know, and things like that, that just, you know, ring true. And I think a lot of people believe that now, and they're coming out of the bushes with what Trump's talking about.
Yeah. I mean, we all know that Trump does not care for people that are educated and people that know things, because those people know he's wrong on most things, if not all, you know. So reducing people, entire groups of people, large groups of people, large disparate groups of people into one bucket, you know, it takes away the nuance, you know, any nuance of history and experiences, but it also, you know, otherizes that group, you know, and mm-hmm. makes it easier for him to say, oh, well, you know, immigrants, that's the reason why you don't have a job. We're going to get rid of immigrants. Or, you know, it makes it so much easier to see other people as being distinct from you and not sharing any of your characteristics, like in this case, being American, you know, trying to divide us rather than unite us. He's said that he has no interest in uniting us, and he's had ample opportunities. I mean, we just had another shooting this weekend, you know?
Yeah. There's no way. And just his rhetoric and, you know, there's no way. I'd like to, again, switch back to the great work Emerge does, too. I'm sorry I took you on this this other trip, but, you know, the amount
I'm
of candidates.
I'm always down for a tangent.
Yeah, me too. But the great work that you do and the amount of candidates and the training, those things are amazing, and it just can't help but help Indian country in Wisconsin, you know, with, again, I've witnessed your 101 Native talk, and it needs to be done for our allies to know and to be able to support us.
Exactly. You know, the platform of the Democratic Party aligns quite a bit with a lot of traditional values, and you know, I think it's really important for elected leaders, I mean, regardless of party, but for elected leaders to understand that tribal governments are peer institutions. They are no different than state or local or county governments or school boards, you know, folks are elected to represent their constituents and they have the same kind of leaders and same, you know, departments, and everybody's got a health department, an education department, et cetera. And it's not, you know, tribes are not a special interest. We are folks that have a codified relationship with the federal government, you know, in federal law. We can certainly go into, you know, how well that works and how well that represents or adheres to the idea of tribal sovereignty. But, you know, it is important for people that might have to deal with tribal leaders, tribal governments, that they understand what those are and know how to appropriately work with tribes, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think that understanding and the, you know, the recognition that tribes are, you know, again, people that we are, that other governments have to work with as a mm-hmm. fellow peer. I think right. that helps tribes immensely, mm-hmm. and allows for situations where more collaboration can happen and programs can be executed, you know, in a way that is fiscally responsible, but helps a ton of people, helping legislation for that tribes need that would help tribes. You know, they've got people that understand why it's important and how to work together in order to make it happen.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, we got less than a minute left with you, Arvina. I really appreciate you coming on. Give us some information about Emerge Wisconsin and how people can get in touch with you. Again, it's that season again where if you're going to start running, it's time to really look into Emerge Wisconsin.
Absolutely. You know, we have a bunch of trainings coming up. I just sent you in the chat a bit.ly link if you can pop that up. We are going to be doing another Step Forward training with the caucuses, hosted by the caucuses of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. That is going to be for people that are thinking about running for office and are trying to decide, you know, do I run now? Do I run in 2 years? Or, you know, should I run for school board or should I run for county board? This training, the Step Forward training, is about 90 minutes and will help you make a decision that works for you. And we have our applications open now for our class of 2026 that will be starting at the end of January. And yeah, so for the application to our next 2026 class, you can go to our website, wi.emergeamerica.org. The bit.ly link that Robert has so graciously put up on the screen is for the Step Forward that I'm thinking about running training. And that, again, will be happening on October 15th. And you can always email me at arvina@emergewi.org.
Thank you so much, Arvina. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you very soon. Arvina Martin, Executive Director of Emerge Wisconsin. We'll be right back with Wendy, and we'll be talking about some sad news. We'll be right back to Native Roots Radio.
What's up? This is Toolman.
And this is Bear Witness.
And we are the Hallucination.
And you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Hi, this is Representative Sharice Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, welcome back, everyone. We have our friend, State Senator, Minnesota State Senator Mary Kunish here on the air here, and we're always, always grateful for her to spend some time with us, as always, each week here on Native Roots Radio, and just... It's always a breath of fresh air, State Senator. You're always really positive, and you know, even if you're not positive, you sound positive. So that's always a good thing. But rarely is that the case. And I appreciate you checking in and really putting a good positive spin on things. Yesterday was Orange. Well, first of all, welcome.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here, everybody.
Right on. And well, yesterday was Orange Shirt Day, and you know, we've talked about that over the years and how important it is. And I saw a lot of great pictures pop up on my social media feed. And it's great to see that people are still really involved with that.
Yeah, I'm still sporting orange. I'm thinking I'll try to wear as much orange over the next month as well, because people ask you, you know, and I have a couple of shirts that, you know, has the Every Child Matters on it too. But it's really an important day, and it's a really good reminder of the things that our ancestors have experienced, especially in the residential schools, when kids were literally stolen from their families. Families were coerced into sending them to boarding school with threats of, you know, well, we'll take the rest of your kids. You aren't going to get any of the commodity foods. All kinds of horrible things threatened against them if they didn't send their kids to boarding school. And then, of course, we know the atrocities of those boarding schools. Many kids did not come home. And I saw a statement somewhere that said, schools should not have cemeteries. Yeah. I mean, come on. It's as simple as that. And of course, they're finding a lot of the students did not make it home because of death, whether it was because of illness that they contracted while they were there and didn't have the health care or didn't have the resistance, you know, the physical resistance against it. There was a lot of abuse. We know that there was a lot of abuse. Many girls were impregnated while in boarding school. And I'm afraid I don't remember the documentary story just that came out of Canada, where these young girls were, you know, raped, of course, against their will, and became pregnant. And those babies were literally incarcerated and disposed of. Oftentimes in the order of the priest, who was the one who impregnated them. So there were a lot of horrible, horrible stories. I know, you know, I think every family has their story. And you know, I've told the story of my grandpa's brother who was sent out to Carlisle, and he left, you know, ran away a number of times, made it home. They took him back. And it wasn't until he was running away with jumping trains and fell off and his leg was cut off. And then they let him go home. So those are the kind of horror stories that our families have been living with generation after generation. And, you know, if you remember, some of those boarding schools did not close so long ago.
Right. Yeah. 1998, I think, was the last one that was open. I always think of State Senator, I always think of that picture of people posting their teepee outside the school, and that their child was stolen and that they were out there camped out outside the school. And I see that picture and it really, really hits home.
Oh my gosh, does it ever. I know exactly which picture it is, or the picture of the before and after where the young kids are, you know, arrive at the boarding school in their clothing that they wore from home, with precious relics to remember their family with, some of them very sacred. All of those things were removed. Their hair was cut. They were forced to wear, you know, white people's clothing, not allowed to speak their language, practice any of their, spiritual, religious practices. I mean, they were ready to beat it up. But, you know, and it's weird because a lot of Native people left the boarding schools and had productive lives in a way that they were able to cope with it while others did not. And I think we're still seeing the relics of mental health and addiction to this day. And so it's important that we remember, and it's important that the public remembers. And once again, it provides an opportunity for us to educate folks. Last night I was at an informational kind of fundraiser for the sacred site Ouamani. It's the old lock and dam on Minneapolis, in Minneapolis, and we are. It's been returned to the Dakota people, and I'm on the board, and we've been working on restoring it and returning it to, you know, Unshimaka, to Mother Earth, in the best way. And there were, you know, white non-Native folks outnumbered us Native folks, probably 6-1. And Shelley Buck was there, and she had her Every Child Matters, her orange shirt and her skirt. Yeah. And she gave a little lesson on that. And, you know, people were basically riveted. Some of people knew about that and others didn't. And so any opportunity we can to educate folks, I think, is really important.
You know, that's a big ditto. I had a we had a show yesterday for the local Twin Cities of the Minneapolis mayoral kind of get to know you debate. And I was live out there, and my co-host that does the Gailey show on AM 950, I was talking about it, and he had never heard of it. And he's definitely an ally. And it's just, again, I'm amplifying what you're saying. We need to talk about it. We know about it. It's our allies and people that don't know about it. So we should almost have a whole month on this. Really, it's just crazy.
Yeah, I kind of plan to do it. I've done it a couple of years, and pull out everything that's orange or has an orange hue to it. Or, you know, as I said, I have a couple of Every Child Matters shirts, and people always kind of look at it. And if I feel like they're approachable enough, I might just go into it.
Was that from Grandma Mary Lyons? The shirt, because I have one that she made me that says that on there. I wore yesterday.
You know, I have one from her.
Okay.
I have one from Canada.
Oh.
I have a black one with orange on it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure where I picked that one up, but a couple of them. Yeah. Yeah.
I really believe too, it's really taken off here in Native country too. I think I was really happily surprised by all the postings. I know, for instance, Ho-Chunk, the casinos, all the workers were wearing orange, and I don't remember that. It could have happened before, but I don't remember that. And they took a big picture in front of their businesses. And so I believe it's catching on. And I think people more and more are, especially in Indian country, you know, representing that. So people do talk about it, and we don't forget, because I agree 100%. I think you said it too, is that everybody that's Native American has had some kind of relative in boarding school.
And, you know, and it's not even just boarding school, but public school for a long time did not do our children justice either. And so, you know, we have Indigenous Peoples Day coming up, and in Minnesota, by law, schools, here's a reminder for schools, they have to dedicate at least just 1 hour, just 1 hour to a lesson or acknowledgement of Indigenous Peoples Day. And that's something that we, you know, had to mandate into law. But we also changed the Columbus Day to Indigenous Peoples Day here in Minnesota. So that's coming up, and it's another opportunity to, you know, help understand what's going on and what has gone on in Indian country.
Absolutely. And I know you had a lot to do with St. Paul, too. Even though when I taught in St. Paul, we smudged all the time. We had a really good principal that really, really saw it. And we had Harding was pretty much a magnet school for St. Paul Native Americans. We taught Lakota and Lakota and Ojibwe, and had art classes, and I had the first homeroom that was all Native. And but then it became a law with John. And I know you were friends with John, the passing, and But that's happening now, and it didn't happen that long ago.
Right. We, again, you know, not every school would allow smudging, or, you know, there were rules against lighting a fire or, you know, lighting something like that that would set off alarms. But yeah, we did pass that law that would allow schools to allow students to smudge in schools. I think that's a big deal.
It's huge. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio, and we're here with Minnesota State Senator Mary Kunish, and we'll be right back after this short break. Please stay with us.
Programming on KFAI is supported by the Bell Museum. The Bell Museum presents Spotlight Science on September 27th. The event features researchers, students, and members of the Minnesota Mycological Society discussing fungi. Spotlight Science provides a hands-on opportunity for guests to learn about the variety of mushrooms growing in Minnesota. Event details and more at bellmuseum.umn.edu.
Governor Peggy Flanagan, and I want to be your next United States Senator, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, welcome back, everyone. This is Robert Pilot. I have my wife, my partner, my soulmate on right now, and some sad news today, and I asked her to come on and talk about it. And Wendy Pilot, welcome to, again, co-founder of Native Roots Radio, and hopefully all the fans that have been badgering me about you coming on are happy.
There is very sad news. Mm-hmm. One of my heroes of all time, Dr. Jane Goodall, passed away today, 91 years old. Yeah, the Jane Goodall Institute of Canada has learned this morning, Wednesday, October 1st, 2025, that Dr. Jane Goodall, DBE, UN Messenger of Peace, and founder of the Jane Goodall Institute, has passed away due to natural causes. Mm. She was in California as part of her speaking tour in the United States. Dr. Goodall's discoveries as an ethologist revolutionized science, and she was a tireless advocate for the protection and restoration of our natural world.
Hear, hear.
You know what, Robert? Excuse me, I just have to clear my throat. So, yes, I see her. She comes up on my Facebook all the time because I follow her. So, mm-hmm. I just get to see like snippets of her, speeches. And last year for her 90th birthday, Robert and I went to New York City.
Yeah.
And we saw her live.
Yeah.
It was extraordinary, really. I just sat there in awe the whole time. The theater was packed. And the one thing that I just couldn't believe is that she stood up the whole time while she spoke.
Yeah, that is a good point. It was awe-inspiring. I have an autographed book from her.
Yeah.
And just knowing, I really like that part too, is that, you know, I really bringing back to the way the earth was and talking about those situations. It was great to hear the story of her life, though, mm-hmm. too, and how she got involved. And,
yeah. I have a couple of little stories. Can I just read them?
Absolutely.
I found them, and I'm really excited about it. Most little girls grow up with dolls or teddy bears, but Jane Goodall, no. She grew up with a stuffed chimpanzee named Jubilee. It was actually a gift from her father. Instead of scaring her, that toy became her favorite companion and maybe the first clue about the extraordinary life she was about to lead. Jane was born in London in 1934, and from a very young beginning, she was crazy about animals. That story about Jubilee shows it. But there's another one too. When she was only 4 years old, she disappeared from the house for hours. And she told us this story during her, when we saw her in New York City. Her family panicked until she came into the house glowing with excitement. She'd been sitting in the hen house, patiently watching a chicken lay an egg. She just had to know where the eggs came from. That patience, just sitting still and observing, would end up shaping her entire career. And when we saw her in New York, when she told us the story, she also made it a point to say how her mother encouraged her curiosity and didn't get mad at her for leaving the house for 4 hours and didn't know where she was. And she didn't get scolded, but she was, you know, encouraged in doing that. Jane didn't have any money for college, so she's trained as a secretary, but she held on to her dream. One day she'd go to Africa. She grew up reading Tarzan, and she even joked that Tarzan married the wrong Jane. She told us that too during her, when we saw her. In 1957, after saving up money from waitressing and typing jobs, she finally got herself to Kenya, and that's where fate stepped in. She met Louis Leakey, the famous anthropologist. Leakey was struck by her passion and her careful way of observing. Even though she had no scientific training, he offered her a chance most people could only dream of, to study wild chimpanzees in Tanzania.
Wow.
Yeah, it wasn't easy. Imagine being a young woman alone in the jungle. Well, not entirely alone. Authorities wouldn't allow it. So Jane's mother came along as her chaperone. At first, the chimps ran away whenever she got close, but Jane was patient. Day after day, she hiked into the forest, binoculars in hand, letting the chimpanzees slowly get used to her. Then came the breakthrough. In 1960, she watched a chimp named David Graybeard strip leaves off a twig and used it to fish termites from a mound. Up to that point, scientists believed only humans made tools. That one observation shattered the boundary between human and animal and made Jane world famous. From there, she went on to show that chimpanzees hunt, that they form friendships, and they feel emotions. She even earned a PhD from Cambridge University without ever having completed a college degree first.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
But what set her apart wasn't just the discoveries. It was the way she approached them with patience, respect, and empathy. Over time, Jane became more than a scientist. She became a global voice for conservation, for education, and for hope. Through the Jane Goodall Institute and her Roots and Shoots program, she's still inspiring young people today. So I just, you know, I'm really sad that she's gone. Listen, she's lived such a wonderful, exceptional life with such a legacy that will live on, you know, forever.
She was a vegan too, and which we always like here. And she wanted people to understand that every day we live on this planet, we make some impact and we can choose. She said, so we should ask questions. This thing we're buying, did it harm the environment? What is it made of? Was it cruel to animals? Is it cheap because unfair wages or slave labor?
Yeah. Really a true person. Just an unbelievable icon, really. And I just love listening to her. If you ever get a chance, just look up one of her videos. She's very soft-spoken.
Right.
And she just always talks about hope. Yeah, she just really made a name for herself, really.
91 years old.
91. I just can't even believe it. It just...
Shoot, if I make it to 71, I'll be lucky.
Well, you know what? We don't know. We don't know what life has in store for us. But I feel like after you just read that about being, like, just more mindful about buying stuff, you know, where did it come from? Is it an ethical product? Is it...
slave labor.
I really have to do better. I think we all need to just do a little bit better.
Yeah, and talk about it and keep on talking about, absolutely. You know, in her memory. And again, I'm so happy that I came along with you. Was that a birthday present? I can't remember, but it was great to go there and see her.
I think we saw her in January, if I remember correctly.
Oh, yeah. It was a later birthday present. Yeah, it was. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio, and Wendy, I'll probably be asking you to come on again this week and talk a little bit more about her.
A few different stories.
It's great.
Not about her, but about other things, too.
Right on. Yeah. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio, and we're signing off. We'll see you tomorrow again. We're still here. We are the seventh generation.
You are listening to Fresh Air Community Radio, KFAI, 90.3 FM, Minneapolis, St. Paul, and around the world at kfai.org, non-commercial, community-powered radio.
Oh, it's bursting with ultrasonic.
Gin and tonic, please.
Oh, it's bursting with ultrasonic.
Gin and tonic.
Oh, it's bursting with...